Hello and welcome to the Market Podcast powered by Money Control. Well, my name is Shita Jananda and today I have with me a very special guest, Prateek Agarwal, who is a business head and CIO at ASK Investment Manager Advisors. Welcome to the podcast, Mr. Agarwal.
Thank you, Shitej.
Right. Well, the first question I wanted to put it across to you is that, you know, after a robust July, August sort of started off on a rocky note for investors. You know, it looks like market seems to be taking two steps forward and one step back, which is not a healthy sign, at least for a bull market. But the price action on D Street is mostly dependent on what happens in the U.S. market. Investors who missed the party before, can they jump in?
Yeah. So, yes, to some extent, the rally that we are seeing in the domestic market is a consequence of the large liquidity infusions that we have seen globally. And hence, it, to some extent, it is correct to say that, you know, the rally that we are seeing in India actually is being driven by the offshore money.
Right.
Now, in the month of July, we actually saw a large amount of fund raise, but mostly on the private equity side, you know, Reliance raised a hell of a lot of money. In the month of August, there is a difference. A lot of the listed companies are raising money from the secondary markets. As we speak, and HDFC Limited has raised money yesterday. Axis Bank raised money. You know, some other companies are also raising money, and ICICI Bank would raise 15,000 crores as well.
Right.
So if you count, Info Edge raised money again between yesterday and today. So if you count the amount of money that is being raised in the month of August, it could very much be in the vicinity of 60,000 crores. You know, in a scenario where, you know, if you see the domestic mutual fund flows, they are stagnant, maybe a small outflow may be reported for the month of July. You know, if 60-70% of this subscription is coming domestically, from the offshore market, even 30% is coming domestically, it still means 15,000 to 20,000 crores being put by domestic investors into such issues. You know, they can raise it, you know, to some extent the cash on the book may be used, but it would also imply that they have to sell something else to put money here.
Right.
Which may just cause market to, you know, hold on for some time. That said, you know, maybe it is the large cap indices which may see some sideways movement, and that's not bad, that's good. But, you know, the other part of the market, you know, which is more in focus of the small investors, I would say should continue to remain buoyant.
Right. And, you know, the next question we want to take it up with you is that RBI permits one-time restructuring of corporate loans. So what does really mean for investors and India Inc.?
Yeah, so this has been positive. You know, there were some thoughts that there would be again a moratorium. You know, after the first moratorium, the second one was not as stiff. Their first one was automatic. You know, unless you opted out, you were in. Second one was reverse. You had to opt in. Okay. If one had the third moratorium, then it would, frankly, the fear was it would have impacted the credit discipline, which was something the bankers themselves did not want. Sometime back, even PSU bank chiefs came and said, let it be voluntary. You know, let the bank and the borrower decide whether this needs to be done or not. And similarly, even somebody, I thought, like Deepak Parekh also coming and saying something on similar lines. So this was something which the bankers themselves did not want.
Right.
I think if a moratorium as such is not extended, a one-time restructuring is what is being talked about, and that too rule-based restructuring, you still need to see the rules. I think it is good for the banking system. So if the rules are framed in a manner that people who are good, capable of paying, but are today facing some temporary hiccups in cash flows, you know, be given some more time to come back to normalcy, that's fine. Without recognizing that as an NP on the book. Because in banking, as soon as you recognize something as an NPA, there are capital issues. You have to provide more capital on the balance sheet itself, and that reduces your ability to grow. By doing this, I think it is overall very, very positive for the banking system versus a third moratorium.
Okay, okay. So restructuring is a better alternative to, you know, getting into a moratorium.
So let the fine print come. Yeah. They have constituted a committee, but then, you know, if very much it allows the bank and the corporate to do it voluntarily one time without recognition of NPA, so that again is a relaxation to earlier set norms, you know, I think that should be good.
Right. And, you know, there is another point which has come from the RBI policy meeting only, and that is the gold loan ratio, which has been relaxed to 90% from 75%. What will that...
What ratio?
Gold loan ratio, the LTV ratio for gold.
Yeah. That's a positive. This was one space, you know, when you're financing a CV, you could very much finance 100%. In fact, people finance the bodybuilding and fuel and tire change and everything. So it is just in the case of gold where actually the security is the most liquid, retains its value much better than a CV or a car. I mean, you drive a car out of a showroom and it drops 20% in value straight.
Right.
And yet you can do higher LTV. It was very strange that in the case of gold, businesses are not being able to take a credit decision. See, in terms of regulation, businesses should be given the capability of taking a loss, right?
Right.
Just like you allow any other NBFC in any other segment to do so. You know, there are people who do unsecured lending where theoretically whole of the money lent is at risk. I really don't know why somebody has put a limit to the amount of gold loan. Theoretically, to bring parity, there should not be a limit. It should be the risk control of the lender itself to decide as to, you know, whether they want to do 60%, 70%, 80% or whatever is justifiable. So a move from a 75 to a 90 is a positive. It will make banks and NBFCs more competitive versus, let's say, money lenders. And the borrowing public will be able to get loans at lower rate versus money lenders. So good for everybody barring, let's say, money lenders. And today when NBFCs of other genre are finding it difficult to borrow from banks to on-lend because of the way risk aversion is today, gold does provide a good mean to borrow and help by the increase in gold prices.
Right.
So, you know, this is something which can make at least a large part of rural India come back to normalcy way quicker. It's a positive. I would see it as a positive.
Right. And I'm in COVID times. What is the kind of social distancing you would want investors to follow when it comes to investing? You know, it could be in terms of sectors or themes.
So, you know, let's draw some lessons from what happened post GFC. You know, the times are, you know, there are similarities. Then again, the economy took a bad hit like now, and it was a global phenomenon like now, and the world fought that event by putting in huge dollops of liquidity into the system. Okay, like now. Okay, and then what happened? So versus expectation, if I go back to 2008 kind of a period, versus expectation of a capex intensive business to do well. I mean, you know, the thought was capital is cheap, so we will build more things. Capital is cheap, so people who have debt on books will see lower interest rates and will be hence having higher PAT, higher business momentum and doing better on the on the stock markets. Actually did not happen. So if you look at the performance of capex intensive, capex oriented businesses, it's been a fact. A huge lot lesser than, let's say, businesses which were more consumption oriented and asset light and actually free cash flow generating. You know, what happens is when liquidity is infused in the order that it is being done just now and the low interest rates sustain, building up, you know, capex happens, but the ROEs from such a capex reduces. You know, overcapacities become rampant. And today, to start with, we have overcapacity in every industry. So what happens is businesses which are able to grow in a sustained manner over medium to long term, you know, 3 to 5 year horizon, tend to do vastly better than other businesses.
Right.
And we believe something similar could happen this time. Yes, consumption pack, you know, let's say an FMCG pack is more expensive versus then. And let's say add chemicals, add pharmaceuticals, add telecoms, retail to that pack.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the consumption pack plus this pack and maybe IT should be the focus of it. I mean, it is our focus. So I'm telling you what is our focus and the logic behind that focus.
Well, okay. Well, if that's your focus, then the next question is about your strategy. That is, what is the strategy that you're following to pick winners in your PMS multi-cap themes to tide over market volatility?
So, you know, the volatility of a portfolio comes in from various sources.
Mm-hmm.
One, the volatility of earnings itself. And there's our whole focus always has been to buy businesses which are able to generate free cash flow and yet grow sustainably in equity kind of returns over long periods of time.
Right.
In terms of growth, so 15 to 20%, if not more, kind of CAGR mm-hmm. growth over multiple years. So, mm-hmm. you know, that makes it a very, very rarefied group of companies.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where we focus on. Second, we keep the portfolio reasonably diversified. So, if a business has pricing power, then the volatility in input pricing is easier to be passed on to the consuming to the consumers, and mm-hmm. over a period of, let's say, quarter to quarter, the impact can be absorbed and business comes back to original levels of profitability. So that is again something we focus on. So staying away from commodity kind of businesses is something that we do. And then, you know, the third large instance of volatility comes in from, let's say, miss asset allocations, you know, poor governance and all of that. And right. that is something that we are very, very focused on, want to keep with businesses where management have a long-standing track record of being good managers, good asset allocators, etc. themselves.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Agarwal, and listeners, for tuning into this edition of Special Podcast. But do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com for more on news, business, and economy. Again, thank you so much.
Thank you.